You're listening to another great show from the Nod Network. Find more great content at nerdod.com.
Mary's boy child, blah, 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 because of Christmas Day.
Hello and welcome to the Nerd OD podcast. We don't do episode numbers anymore and we don't know what this is going to be called, but it is definitely a Nerd OD podcast. Is that how you introduce now?
Is it a Nerd OD podcast though? Because you're on it.
Oh, that's cold. That's fighting talk.
No, it's mostly accurate.
I mean, doubly so when I'm on it.
Oh yeah, so and Dave's here. That is weird. This is a crossover. Although it's kind of two in a row, because you were on last week's.
Yeah, and I also forgot to bring any whiskey, so it's not that much for gross.
I do have some whiskey.
But you brought your words.
I did bring my words.
Well, at least we're halfway there.
We're recording in Casa del Steve. So the other day I had to order... it was when I ordered my Ring doorbell.
No, I know what whiskey you ordered, and there ain't no way you got me drinking
well, from, you know, from Prime Now.
Right. Okay. I need some whiskey so much that I need to get it delivered right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. we got some whiskey sent from Prime Now.
This is the extent of Steve's madness. That what does he order from Prime Now at, was it like 11:30 on a weekday night? He ordered a single bottle of blended whiskey and a video camera doorbell. Like, excellent. What kind of madman puts that through as their Prime Now order?
Listen,
Alexa, send me some
right
whiskey.
Now.
I wouldn't if you
I hope
paid
she didn't
me.
Hear that.
This is Scotch blend.
I mean, I'm gonna...
So you really needed a video doorbell and some whiskey at 11:30 at night?
Yes.
I thought you had a video doorbell.
No, it was when I didn't have one.
Okay. Right.
Smells like whiskey.
Yeah. By the way,
oh,
I'm Dan. That's Reg.
I'm Reg.
And then you've got Steve and you've got Dave. Dave, who was on last week, does another podcast for us called Whiskey and Words, hence the whiskey
just
conversation.
Tried some whiskey and went, oof.
Oof.
Yeah, that one's all fire without the flavor.
Right,
it's
okay.
Not what you want in your whiskey.
Just see you could, whiskey.
What sort of book would go along with that whiskey?
50 Shades of Grey.
I knew it. I knew it.
Because they both belong in the trash. Sorry, James. I don't hold you in high
regard. Is that right? Fifty Shades of Grey?
Yeah.
Is it true that Fifty Shades of Grey is a
yes,
version
Twilight
of fan
fiction?
Twilight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you, if you
was
look,
it?
Yeah, if you look through
started off
it
as Twilight
and
fan
you apply
fiction.
That filter to it, it does start becoming quite obvious when you think about it. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Also, have you seen the reimaginings from the point of view of Christian Grey?
Yes, he's on the second book now.
It's her way of rehashing the same books.
So, I know.
Oh, I thought you just meant you're on the second book. I'm like, why are you reading them?
Talking about interesting facts, did you know that French people don't believe in custard?
What?
Oh, wait, there's a pun here. There's a pun here.
Right. Nope, that's
go
all
on.
I've got. They don't believe in custard.
Right.
Well, they do, but it's called crème pâtissier.
Okay. So shut your face.
I'll creme your pâtissier in a second.
I watch a lot of Food Network, and I know full well that in French bakeries and whatnot, they have creme pâtissier, which is basically vanilla custard.
But also, don't believe in.
Don't
makes
believe
it sound like it's a blooming the boogeyman or something.
There are people on the planet who
don't
believe
is not the phrase you're looking
for. They don't
for.
Believe the world is round.
I think there is
think
an argument for and
smallest,
against the world being round.
Don't even. I'm not.
So if you put custard in front of a Frenchman,
and most of us aren't.
Are you telling us they would be like, no, I do not believe that that is an optical illusion.
That custard,
that is just yellow that, cream.
How do you say custard? Is no
creme pâtissier. It's clearly creme pâtissier. But, right, at least we've got an episode title.
3 minutes in, we've already been
so
racist.
So, let's get it back on track, eh? You guys wanted to live stream this as well. At least I can cut that out now. I won't, though, because it was Comedy Gold.
Yeah.
Well, not quite. It was moderately interesting.
Comedy Bronze.
So, we are all round at Casa del Steve.
What did you just call me?
Casa del Steve. What? to record the Christmas pod because it's nearly Christmas.
It is.
So yeah, we've got a double header tonight. You're not going to see you're not going to see the other one for another 2 weeks. Did you hear that? See people, it's going to be a visual extravaganza.
I really enjoyed what you were saying. However, in my ear, I had him singing Boney M.
The best thing is, We're recording on four microphones. Everyone has their own mic today.
So you can cut me out.
Yes, I can mute single channels.
So the final version is this. It'd be like, yeah, we're here at Steve's house. He's not here.
I can mute it out, or I can just focus right in on you singing Boney M.
Please, can you just loop his...
I don't know the words,
at least we got the clip for the beginning of the show now.
I know Mary's Boy Child, mm-hmm. and then something, something, something.
Jesus Christ.
Now,
was born on Christmas Day.
I have to say... we need to stop talking about Christmas stuff though, because we've got to have 2 hours of us being on and podcasting.
Oh, we're giving people a little behind the scenes tour of how this outfit works.
Well, what do you mean? I've just told them we're doing a Christmas pod after this.
You were singing Boney M, so you missed that bit.
I did miss that bit.
Can we? So shall we reflect on the last week, the excitement of last week?
Yeah. Oh my God.
We're a week after Wales Comic Con, and we had a fun little day
didn't we? Why does this make it sound as though it was like the big event, you know, like
for us
like The Walking Dead or something like that? It's like after the epidemic, a week after this, we're still here, we're alive.
Well, we are still alive,
but
we're now moderately more popular than we were.
Wait, let me try and say that. Cymru Comic Con.
Yes.
Cymru Comic Con.
Cymru
Comic Con.
Glad we got that out of the way.
But yeah, basically, we hopefully some of you might have seen our video that we put up, the 12 days of Wales Comic Con, as far as one of our things could go, I won't say viral, but it had the sniffles. It was quite big. It had quite a large reach. It had lots of views, all within like 24 hours. I just want to say I love you all, Wales Comic Con people. You're the best.
Yep. I don't think they like us though.
Why? Wales Comic Con people. I mean the people.
The Wales Comic Con people.
The people. The 300 people that commented on the video and stuff like that, and all the 100-odd people that shared it and things like that.
You know what I like? Going through the comments.
Yep.
And I'm sure people who get that many comments don't go through all the comments, but damn it, me and Reg did.
Yeah.
It was good fun as well. I just loved abusing some of the people. Yeah. And let's keep it that way that you don't sing, or we could tune it out.
But going through the comments and seeing people that we recognised and being like, oh my God, you were really good. Or, oh my God, you were in our other video. Here's a link to our other video, shameless plug.
A really bad shameless plug for that as well.
Well, I really enjoyed going through it because I was catching up with Asim when it was happening, and of course you were playing good cop, bad cop by sounds of things. Reg is abusing people. And
standard.
Like, hey, we love you.
Standard.
And I was going through the comments and just seeing the coolest thing was seeing people tagging their friends and stuff, people who they knew.
Yeah, exactly.
Were in the video.
And then we can go onto their profiles and look what they're up to.
Just share the video to everybody. Every page.
Well, my favorite comment though I put up the vlog as well, which was a little bit more moderately received, unfortunately. It wasn't quite as exciting, was it?
Yeah, but you had behind the scenes comment stuff. Stream.
Yeah, a little bit. But one person was like, I showed my girls yesterday and they made me watch it over and over until they could sing it all. I was like, that's amazing. I love that.
We've been received in the same way that Let It Go got received from Frozen.
Exactly. Little girls everywhere are singing our song that
Let It Go.
Right.
And some owls from a sanctuary.
Yes, but I mean, I love that. Anyway, clearly that someone liked it that much, they were just like, let's watch it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So I replied anyway, amazing. Oh, and Reg apologizes for the B word.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we need to tone our language back a bit?
No, it's fine. Because they said, oh, it's okay, they've heard worse, we don't shelter them.
So that's why I was about to jump in then, with just a load of expletives.
Have they heard these ones before? Cunt nipple.
Oh dear.
Wow.
Someone, what did they say? Someone said, this defines epic as well. And I was that's amazing. So I'm going to call Webster's.
And we deserve an Oscar.
You guys deserve an Oscar.
My presence here is crossing over whiskey and words.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the definition of epic.
No,
for your listeners
true.
Out there, the epic is a very different word. Don't listen to the lies.
What about biopic?
Read a dictionary.
What's the difference between an epic and a biopic?
Biopic. Biopic is a story about a person.
And is it so not biopic? I know people pronounce it biopic, but it's like people say, "Blooming, that was so addicting."
Yeah, but
that's not a word. They've made it that.
It's like GIF and JIF. You got one person who's right, and you got one person who's wrong. You just have to live with that.
It is GIF.
True. True.
It's definitely
true.
GIF.
Sorry, I know you say
and people
GIF.
Who invert controls and people who don't.
Yeah, inverts controls?
I'm trying to play Turok Dinosaur Hunter, and I can't, that's bad enough without the controls being inverted.
Using the N64 controller was bad enough, though.
It was so weird how I'd completely forgotten how to use one.
Mm.
Like, I had one back in the day when they were a thing. What? And you think in your head, I could pick up that game and play it immediately.
No.
And I picked the controller up. I'm like, what the hell does this even do? Well, I got like 19 buttons.
Yeah,
here.
But then it was
about?
Also Turok the Dinosaur Hunter.
Yeah, there were no dinosaurs. No. I was in a bit of the level where I could swim in some water and apparently breathe forever. Yeah. And there were no dinosaurs. Mm. I had a bow and arrow and everything.
Yeah. Do you know what I think? That, we put up the vlog of the day as well, and the beginning of it. Was Steve wasn't there because he was off watching the Buffy panel.
Yeah,
and that's the bit that's got the most views of the of that whole entire video as well. It's just like it's the first minute, and then all of a sudden it drops
have
out.
Have you watched the thing where I appear and then it just drops down?
Yeah. I'm curious, like, because you see things then that you weren't a part of, and you just came along later. Like the finding of the fudge man.
Yeah, I was clearly exhausted by the fact that you were doing the same joke though. Did you not see when I was like,
I know.
Yeah, we've done this.
And and Hannah from S Club.
Yeah.
That was
I'm 100% saying that I've now done a song like a duet with Hannah.
That's
oh my god, if you started singing with Hannah, she just would have been like, I'm out.
I did. You've seen the video.
It's a very well.
I had to Photoshop a bus behind me, but she stood right next to me.
My favourite part of that video was describing Justin Lee Collins and
as low hanging fruit.
and Mr. Motivate as low hanging fruit. Not only because of the fact that it's funny, but also not Mr. Motivate, there's no way, because as I said earlier, I don't think he has the internet. but Justin Lee Collins, I think there's a real possibility he might watch that.
I really, really hope Mr. Motivator does. Hears you saying that, or listens to this and comes to a con just to have a go at you. Online or in person, either way. Who the hell do you think you are? I'm Mr. Motivator.
He was
bitch.
Calling me out when we were doing the video. He
Good
was ripping into me then.
Well, just because you asked him to. That's you were like, I need you to exercise me. I've got a gammy toe.
And so we were saying apparently he was ill, so he could, like, Justin Lee Collins, so he couldn't appear on our video.
Yeah.
And then he was on somebody else's.
Yeah, he's been on a couple of videos over there, so I'm like, you lying little fucker.
Was that before or after you gave him abuse and called him low hanging fruit? I'm confused.
Before.
All right, okay.
That's why.
Well, then it's justified.
But we only found out after.
Yeah. We'd already made the decision.
It was a preemptive flaming.
Basically, the moral of the story is don't cross the Nod Boys.
Mm. Otherwise, we'll be angry and say a naughty.
Yeah, we'll say things about you that
we'll
you might not like.
Make comments on the podcast.
That's exactly it.
We'll nod you up.
We're going to nod you proper right up.
Nod you right up.
Are you mixing I Want to Sex You Up with Prepper the Rapper?
Why not?
Oh, but can you do us a line from Prepper the Rapper?
Kick, punch it all in the mind. If you want to test me, I think you're fine.
And the thing's a teacher. I'm sure to be.
He only said a line.
Nevertheless, here comes a lesson from teacher. Now kick, punch, block. Kick, punch. Kick, kick, punch, block. Kick, kick.
Did you see? I feel like I'm on acid. On the left.
I'm definitely not on acid, but I feel like I am right now.
You are aware of Prepper the Rapper.
I'm aware of it, but I was never one who played it.
Sorry,
that, like that, and Spyro the Dragon just passed me by entirely.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah,
and Crash Bandicoot for that matter.
Going back to Wales for a second.
Okay.
I'm sad that Jamie didn't respond. I think next time we should probably go and introduce ourselves to him.
Okay.
And
next time we're going to have a table.
Oh, yes, that would be so good.
I have grand plans. I have it all thought out.
The girl that does the gaming.
She's a YouTuber, yes.
She's
quite big.
She's like...
I
wasn't expecting it because I saw her on
she's
Facebook
like
and I was
anime
like, oh.
impressions oh. and stuff, doesn't she? She's got quite a lot of followers.
Who was that, sorry?
The girl who was running the video game stage.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I felt so bad for her as well, just before I even knew she was anything, because...
It was quiet.
It was horrendous. Like, please, somebody play the Switch. And if we didn't, she would have sat there for about like a good 20 minutes just staring at the wall.
When it comes to trend setting, we got up there and played the Switch,
and then there was a crowd.
I want us to use that stage. I want to be the host. I want to play games with people all day, and then I want to do a podcast on the stage.
I want to belittle all the people that come
and
on.
Then,
God, that could be a podcast stage. Wrong.
Yes, exactly. Gaming and podcasting.
You're going to make them want to be there.
Come up here, you little bastard.
There'll definitely be other vloggers and press people who might want to do stuff. Other podcasts, I'm sure. Mm.
Oh, no.
And then... The games we play.
That guy from Yogcast called me up the other day. I was like, I'd love to do something under you guys. We're not quite big enough yet to be on top of you, but underneath you. The guy from Yogcast.
What's that?
I think it's called. It's just some YouTube page. It's like, you know, apparently it's got like one or two followers on it.
Is he being sarcastic?
I think so.
Right.
Think so. Because he'd have told us that by now. They're quite big. They have their own.
They're massive. Like, literally people queue up to go and like literally just have a photo.
I was just about to say, why didn't you invite them? Yeah.
And they tried to kickstart a really shit game, didn't really happen. Failed, and they give people something they didn't actually.
People
want.
Didn't get the money back. We've talked about that actually.
Brutal. We have on one of our previous podcasts.
I think that's an amazing idea. I think the idea of a live podcast from a con, yeah, as well as some kind of event.
And
cool.
Do you know, it wouldn't even matter if people were sat there watching it. I mean, it'd be great if they put it on the schedule, and then the odd person might turn up and have a look. But even if it was we just recorded it there. Great.
You set yourself a new goal.
I would like it with people.
I know, exactly.
Even
but
people. Even
but I wouldn't be like, oh, there's no one here watching it.
Lock the door! They are listening.
Yeah. You belong to us now.
Do you remember when we went into the VR room?
Oh, no.
Yeah. And they were like, sorry, I got a Windows update. We might be ready in about 40 That's minutes.
Fantastic.
It's good.
Okay, we'll go.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate as well, because you could tell that the guy wanted to keep us there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But couldn't, because there was nothing.
Please wait. Before, yeah. It's on update 16 and 40. Not long now.
We're about halfway through. I'm like, but you just told us it's been going for like an hour. Yeah. Like, we're not going to stand here.
Sorry.
That's the 1.5 episodes of talking about Wales Comic Con now, isn't it? So shall we let's move off that subject.
You brought it up.
I know. I just wanted to say thanks to everyone who watched it.
Yeah, thanks to everyone.
Did you? I think that's it was a really good first thing for you to be properly involved with as well, Dave.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, thank you. No, I really enjoyed it because I think it was that the idea that I could do more than I realized I could.
Mm.
And I definitely didn't do as much as I wanted to do, or rather, I didn't do as much as I thought I could achieve,
right.
You know,
okay.
Whether it was filming somebody or chatting to random people or whatever
Dave,
else.
You just,
so,
you gotta believe.
Yeah.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba. Right, you were supposed to, you gotta do what?
But you already started. You went, you gotta believe, and I was like, well, he's already done it, so I'd done the follow-on bit.
It's a proper rapper reference, Dave,
see,
sorry.
What, see, over my head. Over my
so
head.
You see what have you seen what Sega have done?
Is this put games on mobile for free?
Yes.
You're about Street Rage, which is now the cross-platform.
Yeah.
My word.
Yeah.
I was playing it the other night, and Jesus Christ, right?
It's a superstar. Right.
I've currently got downloaded Crazy right. Taxi,
yep.
Sonic 2,
yep.
Golden Axe.
Excellent.
Yeah, and Kid Chameleon, which was awesome.
The
only problem,
I
never played it. The only problem being is it's ad-based.
Yeah, you can pay a one-off to clear ads, can't you? It's like 99p or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, but they're not even in the way massively though. No. So
it's just when you start like a new level.
Crazy Taxi.
I know.
So good. Thing is, Crazy Taxi has been on mobile for a while in one form or another. Crazy Taxi Fair Wars, which is pretty much the same.
Yeah, and that's been out now for a few months. Because remember when, if you listened to
Virtual Tennis,
a few pods back that
we covered this,
having like Sonic and.
Of course. Well,
I guess
Steve listens to every one of our shows, doesn't he? Does he not? No.
Well, he listens into as many as he's on.
True. True.
Like one.
That's my technique.
Listen, made the mistake of listening to you guys when I was on a plane once.
That's right. weren't we talking about you being on a plane and freaking out?
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'll listen to some friends. I mean, maybe that might be a little bit better.
That was your first mistake.
And I was like, I was freaking out about being on this plane, and I tuned in, and then the theme tune played, and then you introed, and then Reg was like, I wish he was dead.
The thing is, though, that's the difference between the G.E.K. podcast and the Nerd OD podcast is we don't wish you dead on this.
No.
So far, when you're not here, we're just like, yeah. Well, in fact, it's fair. Nine times
we
seven,
don't
even reference you not being there. We just chat now. Just
better?
Straight away, we
better?
Intro and just be like, hey, he's not watching Glee. We don't do anything along those lines now. We just literally...
Speaking of Glee, bloody Keith Chegwin's dead.
What?
I know.
When?
No.
Genuinely. Yeah.
No, bullshit.
Keith Chegwin
what?
Is dead.
No. Oh. This is bullshit. Why didn't
it's
we start
not true. This? It's not true. He is not.
Exactly. That can't be right. How did he die?
A long illness
lung
he's had
thing.
For a while.
Aww.
Why did he keep that quiet? Keith Chegwin dead is the third result when you put Keith in on Google.
What was the
60
first
years old.
I'm worried that you've broken Dan and Reg on air.
Oh my God.
Live on a pod,
it.
You've broken
he
these
even
two.
Even like died doing his favourite thing of chasing squirrels.
I was talking about Keith Chegwin before, actually, about the fact that he's... In my head, I know him from one thing alone, and that's when he had that small part in that Ricky Gervais show a few years ago.
Yes.
Like that, because I didn't grow up with Keith Chegwin.
No, me neither.
So
you didn't grow up as Keith Chegwin.
I didn't really
grow up as Keith Chegwin.
I know I grew up in the States, so I didn't grow up knowing who Keith Chegwin was.
Oh, good
so
old.
I have heard of
Chegaroonies.
Him, but I only saw him in that.
I only really know him from Celebrity Big Brother.
Do you know what? Plumbing, that Max Clifford's going to be gutted, isn't he? I mean, he's dead, like, but... Because that's all the entire limelight off his death now, and everyone's going to be like, Max who? Keith Chegwin.
Worst part of that is that Max Clifford was a publicist.
Yeah.
Double burn.
Yep. and in prison or whatever.
Did
like,
he die
know.
Today as well?
Yeah, he died.
A couple days ago.
Yeah.
It's almost like 2016 completely desensitized us to celebrity deaths.
Totally.
So now this year, more celebrities have died, and we're all like, eh, yeah,
it's
sad.
It's been a funny old year, actually, because last year we got to the end of the year being like, Christ, please, no one else.
Yeah.
And now we've got to the end of the year being like, Christ, please, just another president. Like, just, it's so weird.
But the right one, if you're listening. The right one.
I'm still up for getting rid of Little Mix.
I'm curious.
Right, because
Reg has long had a hatred for people like Jade Goody and Lily Allen and Kate Nash.
Jesus.
And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Little Mix.
No, this has been going on for a fair few years now.
Okay.
So I don't have access to your internet, Steve, but on this day that we're recording right now, about 6 years ago or 5 years ago,
Exhibit
or so,
A in
Daft,
Reg versus Little Mix.
They won. The X Factor thing, and their single of choice with fucking Cannonball by Damien Rice.
Well, the thing is, it's not of their
choice. And they do a really, really, really horrendous version of it. And it was the first time I was staying over at the now wife's.
Reg is really mad right now.
Parents' house.
Face, but he's going off.
So it was like, let's have a really nice time, and everyone was getting along really, really well. And then Little Mix came on, and like we finished eating tea, so she was like, "Oh right, can we put on the final of X Factor to see who wins?" And it was like, "And with the winning song, Cannonball, Little Mix." And I was just sat there like, "Huh." I don't like swear in front
in
of people's
telly.
Parents. I'm just like, this is going to be really awkward. Because I'm like, oh, I can't believe this. And I was like, I love Damien Rice, and they're just ruining Damien Rice. Mm. And then like, come on, X Factor. I was like, fuck you, Little Mix. And then just turned and looked, and like her mum and Chris were just sat there like, I was like, I'm really sorry, but I'm really angry about this.
Reg is so mad right now.
His face is red.
His eyes are glistening like he's about to burst into tears of
your
rain.
Your face is red,
this
like
is
a strawberry.
His face
Someone
is red,
the
and
subject.
The and his levels were red there.
I'm so. Just, I hate them.
I've got
but
that
genuinely,
one, but have you seen, have
genuinely
you seen their
despise
impressions,
them.
Their impressions of accents? Have you seen them? The videos.
The only
the
thing
accent.
I'd like to see them do an impression of is lying in a box for a fair few years while it's sat on fire.
Do you know they tried to break Korea? South Korea.
Yep. I've tried to break Korea.
Yeah, like break into the market.
You've got to try harder to get into Korea as a pop star. they manufacture them. Literally manufacture pop stars there. What are you talking about?
But amazing pop stars.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Girls' generation, man.
No, let me give my comparison to this story for
He knows.
Second.
He knows where
so, it is. What is going on recently? People knowing what? Things?
The song O by Girls' Generation is the greatest pop song of all time. Because it is
it,
the
it's
most
true.
Catchy, the most positive, and... just it wonderful in
and
all ways.
And it's an amazing video.
And it's also an amazing video.
See?
So, 2 seconds.
Oh, God.
My comparison to that story would be, do you remember the Glee project?
Yes.
So.
See, we mentioned before that, like, he doesn't come on the show and talk about Glee anymore.
Yeah, in fact, we have.
Two mentions now.
Yeah.
Carry
so,
on.
On the Glee project, they need to do songs at the end of it. And fucking one of the songs that they did at the end of the show was Ben Folds, Brick.
Ben Folds a brick.
Ben Folds brick.
Brick.
A really moving,
in an upbeat
horrific
way.
Song about
it's a horrific song about abortion, and they're singing it like a fucking
it's a beautiful
pop song.
Though it is like not their version.
It's amazing. That's the first ever Ben Folds Christ. Ben Folds 5 song I heard, and I saw it. They were on Top of the Pops. Like that was the first time, only time I think they were ever on it. And I remember seeing it and going, "It's amazing!" And I had to buy the album.
Well, it's the thing. Every once in a while, you encounter
from
someone.
Borders.
Someone
from America, actually.
Who
bought
covers
it when
one
I was
of
in
your favorite songs. And no matter whether the cover is good or bad, it enrages you. This happened with me with...
it's not just because they did the song. It's because they did it wrong.
Yeah.
It was a sad song.
No, that too. But Kate Bush, I love Kate Bush.
Right.
And Cloudbusting is probably...
How does it go?
Cloudbusting out in the streets of Liverpool.
Of Organon. I'll play it for you later. I'm not going to sing the whole song. I could.
Is it the one
I'm not
that
gonna.
Goes, don't give up, you still have friends?
No,
is
what
that
are
by
you
somebody
about?
Different?
Shut up. Anyway, don't Kate Bush. So they did it
hold
last
on
year.
For
it last
the
year
end
in the summer.
How it goes.
They did a, someone did a dance cover.
Right.
Effectively, where all they did was sing the chorus.
Okay.
But like the chorus repeated with a dance beat on it. And the problem is, The song is really quite, like, it's the story behind the song is quite depressing, really. It's quite, and they sing it with one of the lyrics, which doesn't mean what they think it means.
Right, right.
Mm.
And they sing it over and over again.
Totally out of
like
context,
it's really like happy, it's... and it's like, it is not happy. Wow. What's happening
what I
here
don't
is not
get
happy.
With dance music. And like, and the worst culprit for this is fucking Heart Radio Station.
His face is going again. He's going
Heart Radio Station have this thing of like, oh, you know what's a really nice song? Like, for most people, their first dance of like last year or the year before was Ed Sheeran's Shape of... No, not
Thinking
Shape
Out Loud.
Singing Out Loud.
Thinking Out Loud.
Yeah. Thinking Out Loud, even. It was that
that's
one.
What he does. Singing Out Loud.
Yeah.
And like, thinking Out Loud.
Everybody loves it. It's like, oh my God, it's such a beautiful song. And Heart are like, yeah, you know what'd be amazing? Put a donk on it.
Put a banging donk on it.
That's exactly the conversation that happens, isn't it?
and they do, they're like, you start to say, it's a Bernie now, like, why are you putting a dance on? And like, the John Legend one as well, when it was like, all of you, they're like, oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Donk it.
Can you
and they do, and you're like, what the
can
actual
can you please
shit?
Do a spin-off podcast which is called Reg versus Music? Where you just rant
call
about
it Donk
the music
it.
That
Reg
makes you angry.
No, let's call it Donk It.
Donk It.
The Donk It podcast.
This is the mass debate thing. Just like me against things.
This is quite the Donk It podcast.
True, yeah.
Reg versus...
I need more beer for this, though. God damn it.
Why is in that beer? Is
I like
that
how
Aldi?
I gave Reg no a can of beer,
Ikea.
And he somehow managed to...
IKEA beer?
To, like, squeeze it.
He's crushing it.
Rage.
It.
So, in work, near enough every day now, it seems, I started becoming a fiend for Monster energy drinks.
Oh, God,
that's why you're going to say Monster Munch.
That's a bad...
But it's because it's like,
route to go down.
Like, at the moment in Asda, you can get, like, six for, like, £2 or something. So, I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm like, just tweaking. But every time I finish a can, I look at it, squish it, and be like, ah, good.
Yeah.
For the Shenmue reference.
He does.
And every time I do it, everyone's like, why'd you do that?
Did
I'm
you
like,
ever watch Over the Hedge? Shenmue.
I love Over the Hedge.
Didn't Ben Folds do
the...
Folds
yeah, that's the only good thing about it.
Over the Hedge. No, it's...
With like, William Shatner.
The
thing
with
that,
the squirrel, man.
That's
that
what I'm saying. The other
scene.
Thing that was the best scene about it was when they give him the squirrel that fizzy drink.
Yeah.
And everything goes in slow motion. Like, things are just all up in the air, and he's just wondering about, like, boop, 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 ooh. Like, that's what you
that
remind
film.
Me of.
Ben Folds soundtrack and Bruce Willis as a raccoon. I'd watch that right now. Love that movie.
But in RL.
I've definitely lost.
Just dressed up as a raccoon. Just like started ragging around.
CG. It's a really bad plastic
amazing.
Raccoon mask.
I've lost all interest for Bruce Willis stuff now.
Yeah, me too.
Kevin Smith has
after
just
Kevin
killed
Smith.
It.
Yeah, he's just really ruined it.
Oh, and after that Red 2 bloody interview that he did.
Oh, God,
we
yeah.
talked about this already.
Oh, the one where he's on the One Show when he's just an absolute...
What a
thing
prick.
With Bruce Willis. For a long time, Bruce Willis has played Bruce Willis in movies.
Yeah.
A bit grumpy, a bit surly, but is an action hero.
He's
of some
buying
kind.
His own shit now, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's... Bring back Bruno, that's what I say.
Who?
Bruno. That
in
was his rumor, singing alter
his
ego.
Daughter,
yeah.
She's in Empire. And she's a singer in Empire. And,
okay.
And she's actually, she's like a brilliant actress.
Does she sing out loud?
And I'm hoping at some point that her dad's not like, you know what would be great? I'm going to get me on Empire. Because
I can't imagine an actor... less suited towards that show than Bruce Willis.
Speaking
because she is the only
like
white girl
rival record
in
producer.
The entire thing. You're like, hang on a minute. It's like, shit, we need to not be so like so racist or stereotypical. White girls can rap and sing too. But let's have one.
Jesus.
Let's just have one. And that's what they do. They put one in and she's going to get killed off any minute now.
Right. Speaking of mental actors,
fucking,
okay.
Has anybody seen Jim and Andy?
Is that the Jim Carrey, Andy Kaufman thing?
Right.
No.
When you said Jim, I was like, be careful what you say now.
God.
I love Man on the Moon.
It's,
I think
amazing
it's a great
film. Amazing film.
Do you
really
believe
unrelated.
They
I
put
do.
A man on the moon?
I do believe.
A man on the moon.
It happened. It
Andy Kaufman in the wrestling match.
Yep. Just, yeah, I mean, yeah. He is actually great in it. And if you've seen any Andy Kaufman stuff, he does it really well.
Yeah.
He really, like, but I had no idea that he was living his life as Andy Kaufman for that whole shoot.
What my problem is with that documentary, and
so
just
it's a behind the scenes documentary filmed what, 12 years ago when the film was actually out, and hasn't seen the light of day until now.
Because Universal turned around and said, we don't want to let this go because everyone will think that you're a prick. And Jim Carrey, everyone will think Jim Carrey.
And now everyone thinks he is. So they're like, oh,
make some money.
Basically,
he went into he did method acting with it. He became the character. Yeah. Now, my first argument, I don't want to reveal too many spoilers. I mean, there isn't really any spoilers to reveal because it's a documentary about an actor that's still an actor, and it's a film about the film, as if you've not seen it, like, it was from 2000, 1999,
yeah,
17 years old, you'll be all right. But the issue I have with it is that film, whilst it was very good and his performance was amazing, I've seen other films that are equally as good where the actor playing a role hasn't had to have gone mental to do it.
No,
you've got a real problem with method acting.
Who are you talking about? Jim Carrey.
And what got me, right, was the fact that he was surrounded.
Well, maybe that sums it up.
He was surrounded by enablers, by people who are like, okay, he wants to be mental. I'm going to allow it to be mental. I'll give you two quick examples. First of all, when Andy Kaufman's actual dad shows up, right, Jim Carrey's acting like Andy Kaufman, he goes up to him and he goes, I'm really proud of you, son. And Jim Carrey starts crying and goes, thank you, dad. Enabler. The second issue I've got with that film is the director. The director's wound up to high hell with Jim Carrey, just being like, fuck, just let me make a film. Anyway, calls him that night, right, and goes, I've got to be honest, I can't cope. I just wanted to talk to you over the phone because I know that you're Jim now, and I can't deal with what's going on. I'm up to here. And Jim Carrey goes, well, listen, what I'd do if I was you, he says, it's up to you. He says, I can do a pretty good impression of Andy Kaufman. So if you want to sack them, speaking of Jim Carrey and the fucking third person as Andy Kaufman, fucking Tony, what's his name? Tony Clifton. If you want to sack them, then I'll agree to come in and do my best impression of them. And the director goes, no, I just wanted to talk to Jim for a minute. Enabler! The only person that didn't enable him was the actual wrestler that came in. He wasn't buying any of this shit, right? In fact, there was one scene, because keep in mind, Jim was winding up that wrestler the whole time, offset, right? And there was this one scene when there's a big kerfuffle and the camera that's filming behind the stage runs into this little storeroom, and Jim Carrey's getting fucking knocked out by this wrestler because he's been pestering him for so long, and that's off camera. Wow. So that makes me, that there's no other reason, like there's no way they set it up, because he had to run into a building to film it.
I just, my thing with method acting is professionally pretending to be somebody else, right? That's what, there's more to it, I know there is, but that's, in a nutshell, that's what acting is. Method acting is being somebody else all the time so that you're better at pretending to be them. Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
If you have to try that hard, maybe you should be somebody else.
Yeah. But he went too far with it. Like, he got, like, Jim Carrey, while he was filming Man on the Moon, got an invite to the Playboy Mansion from Hugh.
Mm-hmm.
So Hefner calls him up and goes, come down.
I thought you called him in the first person. So Jim's there getting invited by Hugh.
Jim turns around and goes, listen, I'm currently playing. Oh no, it was his agent that organised it and said, listen, Jim's currently playing a part, so you can have Jim Carrey at the Playboy Mansion, but he's either going to come as Andy Kaufman or, unfortunately, as Tony Clifton. So what?
Does he act as Tony Clifton every now and again?
Every now and again, Tony Clifton comes in and fucking...
dressed, like, with the makeup, prosthetic and everything. Tony Clifton was his manager.
He crashed. But
it was Andy Kaufman.
It wasn't his manager, it was his alter ego.
I know, but that was... It was Andy Kaufman, but it was his... a bad stand-up comedian who was also his manager. So he'd be like, well, my manager needs to turn up, and he'd come, I'm Tony Clifton, and like that.
Right, so, okay.
But everyone was like, that's Andy, that's weird.
They crashed a car, they stole a, you know, those little golf buggies they drive around the Universal lot.
Yeah.
They stole one of them. Like, they nearly got chucked off the lot a couple of times when he was as Tony. Right. But back to the Playboy conversation. Mm. So agent says, look, Jim's going to turn up, but he's going to either be Andy Kaufman or he's going to be Tony Clifton, and you just need to fucking go with it.
Right.
Anyway, fucking Tony Clifton shows up.
Playboy Mansion.
But it's not Tony Clifton. It's not Jim Carrey. It's the guy that plays his mate, his agent.
Paul Giamatti.
What's his name?
Paul Giamatti.
It's him dressed as Tony Clifton, right? He fucking shows up at the Playboy Mansion dressed as Tony Clifton, pretending to be Jim Carrey. Everyone stood about being like, that's not Jim Carrey. He's there for 3 hours, right? Just being a dick. All of a sudden, Jim Carrey just shows up.
As Jim Carrey.
As Jim Carrey. This Tony Clifton guy gets fucking chucked out. You see Hugh Hefner kicking off. Who the fuck is that guy? Get him out right now. It was perfect. It was perfect.
I feel like I need to watch that now. I wasn't going to watch it before, but for that recommendation.
Such, honestly, it's so good.
Is Man on the Moon on Netflix as well, though? Can
Man
you actually watch
it?
It's
on BBC iPlayer at the moment.
Brilliant. Okay.
But it's
there
just. It's just a film full of enablers. That's what I couldn't deal with. Anyway, sorry I've talked about that too long, but it's worth watching.
It's fine.
Definitely worth watching.
Yeah, I mean, we've got two and a bit hours of podcasting we've got to fill here.
I kind of feel sorry
fine.
For him, though. You know the reason why he's gone full-on mental?
I don't know why, but I know that he thinks none of this is real
His
and
girlfriend
we don't exist
killed himself and blamed it on
herself.
Him.
Killed himself?
Yeah,
killed herself and blamed it on him.
Oh, yeah.
Did hear about that. Yeah.
Wow. So he now believes that he's that nothing's real. And we're all
but he's going out and he's going to events. Like he was at some like I can't remember what it was.
Like
some
music awards, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Some award and like, but having interviews and people asking him like, you know, what are you up to? And he's like, well, it doesn't matter. None of this exists. None of this is real. Why are we all here? What are you wearing? I'm not wearing anything. My clothes don't exist. Why? What's you know? And surely you just wouldn't go to these things.
Yeah.
Just go. All right, I'm done. I think I made my money.
I'd love to go and talk to him and try and have a conversation on his wavelength.
Mm. Everyone's like, oh, he's shining a light on this.
Enabler.
This. Like, is he, though?
He's such an enabler.
Steve is an enabler.
To explore what's going on in his brain, because,
Yeah, yeah.
What if it's just another character he's playing?
Who knows?
Well, the problem being is Heath Ledger did a very similar thing with the Joker, and as we all saw, he had a really hard time getting out of that role.
Yeah, but he also had, I think he had a history of depression and mental illness, didn't he, as well? So it didn't help that he was playing a really
dark
character.
Jim Carrey hasn't just become like this overnight. He's been like this for a good few years.
And as mentioned, like Jared Leto is now the new guy doing it, and he's still a massive cock.
Yeah, but everyone's just like, oh, this is so amazing. Look at this guy. He's so good. He pretended to be blind.
Jared Leto, who is a Oscar award-winning and I think Grammy award-winning artist.
And he's still bitching about how much airtime he got.
And all this
film.
Kind of stuff. And all I'm thinking is like, I mean, he's been good in some stuff. And 30 Seconds to Mars, they're all right. But how is he massively award-winning and been in huge blockbuster films for... I mean, he was in Fight Club in 99.
Who was he in Fight Club?
He was Pretty Boy.
Of course he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I had a memory like you. One that exists for more than like an hour.
An American Psycho. So he's Paul Allen, American Psycho.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's been in some amazing films. And you're like, how good is your agent? Like, what's their cut?
Your friends are my friends. You can keep them. I love that film.
Great film.
To return some videotapes.
Great film.
That's one of the only films I do like him in.
Return the videotape to Blockbuster.
What's in 1998?
No,
rewind.
So it just reminded me, I've been playing Persona. And on Persona, you can buy like a secondhand TV from a TV shop. And it comes with a DVD player. And you can go to a DVD shop.
What?
And you can rent DVDs in there. But you only get them for a week. And like I've been literally grinding through a dungeon to get money. So I could buy some weapons, and I just realised I didn't return about a DVD, and that's going to be
about... You're going to get fined.
That's going to get fined.
Are you getting anxiety about a video game that you're playing and not taking DVDs back
to
the video game?
When I play any kind of RPG game, so whether that's... I played EVE Online for quite a long time. I played Skyrim, of course, for hours and hours, like everyone did. And in those games, I always get some kind of job, right?
Mm.
So in EVE Online and in other games like that, No Man's Sky and other ones, I would mine materials, I would craft, I'd sell, I'd make money. Basically, I'd spend my hours literally grinding rocks in this game. Skyrim, I was the only skill I got to 100 in Skyrim was blacksmithing. And I got that by getting loads of things and just making shit all day long to make money. And people mock me for this. Now, just to point out, in your game, your character literally saved money to buy a TV and a DVD player and has to rent DVDs and return them on time.
Yeah, and not just that, but the thing is, I didn't even get to watch it. I think I might love this game.
It was right up my alley.
That's the really annoying thing, and I got it, because it was going to boost up one of my stats, and I never got a chance. But while we're talking about MMOs and weirdly watching things on games, I started playing a new MMO on my phone.
Right.
Which is Lineage 2, but, okay.
I saw a trailer for it. Right.
Version of it. Right. It's what they class as an autoplay.
What does that mean?
What that means is, literally, you tap on the screen to load up your character, and it plays the game.
A bit like The Sims?
What?
No, no, it literally, it quests for you, it fights for you,
so what
it
do you
even
do?
Auto-level up
what
stuff.
What do you do?
I watch it, and I've got a strange obsession of watching it.
I don't get it.
It's really fun, and it's got no reason to be this entertaining. But, like, the other night, I was lying in bed, and I was like, I meant to go on and, like, collect, like, the daily login thing. I was like, I'll quickly do that. And I'm like, I'll just do one quest. Next thing you know, Ash is fast asleep, and I'm, like, 4 hours in. Phone plugged in, just watching something quest.
Surely you can just sit it next to you and let it play.
You've got to tap on, like complete a quest.
Oh, right.
I like
there's
that
there's a little
evolution of games.
Minor so interaction.
You go from games where you've got to have full interaction to games that just involve a tap to games that you literally just open and watch.
Yeah, but it looks beautiful for a phone game. But I was just genuine to say it's making me really, because we've been talking about going back into WoW a lot recently. And like a really MMO.
Yeah.
And this is like sort of quenching my thirst. Weirdly, because I'm just watching destroy 12 orcs and go back. Oh, kill another 14 orcs of a different style orc. Go back, like collect their ears. I'm like, this is what I would do in the game. Yeah,
you're basically playing a Vietnam War veteran with post-traumatic stress disorder. That's what you're doing.
Pretty much.
Speaking of World of Warcraft, you mentioned that I saw it today, and that's the segue is World of Warcraft is Blizzard. Blizzard is Overwatch. So I never played Overwatch,
right?
But I've seen that they've just announced. Well, not announced. They've just started the first official Overwatch League.
Oh, someone was telling me about this in work the other day. That apparently the proper going all out with this. Like, yeah. There's mods for like the outfits that they're wearing.
It's an actual league. Yeah, there's an actual league now of teams around the world. And I saw some video earlier today of someone playing it, and it was the most ridiculously intense first-person shooter experience I have ever seen.
My mate Paul is in the 0.2% of UK playing support at the minute.
Is it like Halo?
Well, imagine a game that looks like World of Warcraft, but then give it guns and give everyone speed. That's what it looked like to me. It was very brightly colored, and things exploding
everywhere.
It's so popular
that people want the signatures of the voice cast.
And don't get Rich started on that. He'll be here. Only had Little Mix sitting next to him. Eh?
I have a question, and it's sort of
tell
like
me what you think about me.
It's kind of a long callback.
That's not Little Mix.
What is that? Corin?
Carry on.
Nemec guy Corin doing Corin following Nemec. Us.
Corin Nemec knows where the good shit is.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
He watched our video.
And when you said that's a long callback, you mean by a week?
No, I mean by we were talking
20 minutes ago.
Yeah, right, okay. Yep.
That's a callback. That's like from months ago or
episode of the C.E.K. podcast when we talked about this.
It was like when one listener, Scott, mentioned something to you and you were like, oh, that's a very long callback. It was the Stay Puft. And he was like, oh, I didn't realise you had a photo of Sailor Moon. I'm like,
yes,
right. Oh, that's a callback.
Yeah. That is a callback.
Yeah. That's a callback.
Yeah. All right. So why is he following
so
us?
So now that Steve is educated,
why not? Because as Dave said, he knows.
Have we got any other certified followers?
We had
verified.
Certified. We had someone who wrote something.
50 Shades of Grey.
No, I can't remember. This was when we just started. Maybe they made a game or something like that. He's the creator of something. I forget what it was. It was someone moderately exciting at the time, but I think it was one of those follow me, I'll follow back, that sort of thing. F for F. We've never F for F'd.
Is that what
never
gonna
wants
from us? Is he want us to
probably,
follow him?
Probably.
I think he's got enough. I'll be honest. Yeah. Good. You guys better follow back.
No, I mean, this is like going back. This is a callback to 20 minutes ago where we're saying,
allowed to do
it. I know. I was referencing callback. I'm calling back to a minute and a half ago to call back to 20 minutes ago. More backpatting, but we've always tried to naturally grow our audience. Like we've never pandered to like right. Let's
organically.
If we follow all these people, we like all these things on Twitter, and then people find that like, we just let it happen. And yes, okay, maybe we've gone like baby metal's popular, but I have an interest in baby metal, and we've naturally had content that's come up about it, and they've been
I've followed from our Twitter account, but only because they're pretty.
Right, yeah, but that's what you do.
Sorry.
That's your thing.
Now you're making us look weird.
The problem is...
You've ruined all that good work. You've done it all.
Sorry.
You need to stop that when we get big. right? Because when you're big, that's when the magnifying glass goes on you. And people will start to see.
Oh my God!
Steve,
they just need
hassling,
to go and listen through to some of the old podcasts, well, like.
But yeah, no, I mean we're, you know, everything's moderate numbers, but we've had little things that have gone quite big, and then we've got a load of followers from it. Like YouTube's coming up to, I think we're on 735 subscribers. And again,
that's 1,000 done.
Yeah, I know, absolutely, and that's not from anything but putting out content, grinding away. And you know, I'm pleased with that.
I think that's great. I think that what also it is you got someone like Karen Nemec who met a lot of people at that con, and I guarantee he didn't turn around and start following most of them, did he? No, he started following Nerd OD because he remembered that you guys went up to him and said, "Will you be in this video?" And he was like, "Yeah, cool." Which means that either he remembers the experience of being in it, or he's watched it since and enjoyed it, and he thought, "Okay, we'll see what else they do." And it means that if he comes back to a con, perhaps he can go back and go, "Hey, Karen Nemec. Be in this thing now too because we're cool. Be friends."
He does follow a lot of people though.
Well, he does, but when you think about as a percentage of how many follow him,
yeah, that's probably true.
You know, he's got 25,000 followers and he's following far, far, far less than that. So it's not just a simple follow for follow thing.
True. This is where we find out he's no longer following us.
Oh, God.
Although, that would be so sad.
I'll be sad. So they're going, "You've got a special bond now." And he's like, "Fucking unfollow. See you later."
Yeah.
Because he's listening now somehow.
Yeah. He's hacked your house. Your house is bugged.
Yeah, you can hack my house.
Yeah, your house is very much internet connected and
even has a very
Alexa,
internet
set house. Living room temperature to 18 degrees.
Are you trying to kill us? That's far too cold.
No, it's not. Why is she not doing stuff today?
Because she's decided she no longer works for you. You work for her.
I asked her upstairs. Oh, there we go.
She wants to make you work for it. She's like, "I'll do it, but on my terms."
Karen Nemec still follows us.
Whee!
And yeah, to be fair, he's got 24,500 followers, but he only follows 7,500.
Yeah, so he's a busy man.
So, you know, a third
of
his...
one of those 7,500.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's 7,581. We're that one.
That's like, in the year when dinosaurs were around, I'm sure it was like 7,581.
Reg, are you trying to segue into Jurassic World?
Into anything that's not about bigging ourselves up on our own podcast, because if people are listening to it, they'll be following us anyway.
Yeah.
So there's no fucking point
we've
in talking
Trevor,
about
we've got
how
Trevor.
Fucking big we are on our own podcast.
We've got Trevor,
let's talk about how big dinosaurs
we've
are
not,
in Jurassic World 2 trailers.
We've got Trevor sat at home right now on his headphones listening to this podcast being like, "But guys, I already follow you."
Yeah, please stop talking about it.
What more
not
do you
big
want
enough
from
that
me?
We're big because we're not in the slightest. I'm just
no,
saying
but
I'm proud.
There's been loads of stuff that's going on,
right?
And we're just
anyway,
saying,
you're
saying
towards
I'm
it,
proud.
Which is just like, yeah, standard. We're cool. We don't need to talk about it.
Anyway, Jurassic World. Good segue. I haven't watched the trailer yet, and I feel like I've failed at life.
See, I wasn't going to, but someone ruined it. So I had to end up watching it, didn't I?
Oh, I ruined
because
it.
Because someone tweeted going,
"Meh!" Do you know Justin Lee Collins actually follows us?
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
he actually
follows us.
Oh my God, I've actually tweeted about him.
Well, think of it this way.
Anyway, carry on.
I follow 16 people on Twitter. NerdOD is one of those.
Whoa.
I'm trying to get myself internet famous, and I thought if I follow as few people as possible whilst also trying to build up my followers, then surely eventually I must get verified.
So
by default,
Jurassic Park.
Sorry, yeah.
Is it supposed to be making out that dinosaurs are now all cool with us? Because that's the kind of feel I got from the trailer.
I don't think it does.
Have you seen what happens when people get near the dinosaurs?
No, I've seen what happens
when... They do or die. So they're really not good with us at all.
They're okay with people being around, just not too close.
I've seen what happens when Thingy from Parks and Rec goes near them. They're all like, "Oh, it's that guy, hi."
His name is Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
He's a major Hollywood actor.
Yeah, he's
Thingy
from Parks and Rec.
Jay wasn't even meant to be in that.
I'm just going through the list of people who follow us.
Oh, damn.
We're being followed by Lil B, the bass god.
Who is that?
He's a rapper. Well, his bio is he's mogul, first rapper ever to write and publish a book at 19, film scorer, composer, producer, director, photo, branding, marketing, historical online figure.
Yeah, I think he's spreading himself a little bit too
thin.
The first
rapper
to
write a book at 19?
Yep.
Like, specifically
19. Someone did it when was 17 and wrote
one.
What
was the book about?
I mean, he's got 1.5 million followers.
How many is he following?
1.6 million.
Hey, Is he verified?
He's verified. Well, that's what go. I'm going through. I'm going through go. Just looking for the ticks.
He's doing something right.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to interject.
Chris Pratt, but apparently he wasn't meant to be in Parks and Rec past season one.
Really?
Yeah, because he's a guest star. Yeah.
Was he a guest star?
His character was so popular. Like, okay.
Absolutely.
Kept him in.
And he was brilliant. Mm-hmm. To be fair, like, I love Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Genuinely, but and like, I did really enjoy him in Jurassic World. Yeah. Like, I loved Jurassic World.
It was all right, wasn't it?
Jurassic World was cool.
It was all right.
It was great.
I loved it in the same way. I loved the Force Awakens, that it was mostly a rehash of the first movie, but still great because of it.
So I'm fine with it. Can I talk about my problems with Star Wars?
Oh, you don't even open that door, because I.
No. Yes. Okay. Yes. You can, because
Steve, open that door.
You've ranted. I've had a rant.
Yeah.
We need you to do one and then Dan to end it.
Because if you rant about Star Wars, I might rant at your face. So
good. I'm on a chat with a couple of friends and I want to read out some of the messages. Shut up, Reg. Some of the messages that I sent to the group last night, and I want you to tell me whether you agree or not.
Okay.
So I'm going to say this now, but I don't rate Star Wars. I mean, it's okay, but there are mediocre films that are better. For example, I was watching Con Air the other night, and I actually probably like Con Air more than I like Star Wars.
I'm gonna fight someone on his own.
Nicolas Cage is in Con Air, so, and he does have beautiful hair.
I'm not going to dispute that Con Air itself is a fantastic movie, because it's one of the best bad movies that's out there.
But,
carry on.
The films are firmly on the hype train, which I've definitely missed. And then I put across the point that even George Lucas doesn't like it, because he shredded that film to shit. I don't like that film, and he's gone and he's made it even
worse. He tried to make it better. Yeah, but doesn't that not say something about his own judgment?
I put the big bads are flawed, because they are. The series birthed Jar Jar. Oh, and Mark Hamill. I mean,
what?
Really.
What? Wait, this is my rant.
Not even Mark Hamill believes he's a good actor. And then someone put across the point that he made a good Joker, and I said he's an awesome Joker. I said if the face goes anywhere near the situation, it
you are going to be proven wrong in 4 days, my friend.
Okay, so
I have no doubt he's going to be the absolute highlight of The Last Jedi.
And then I put across, I just can't move away from the fact that I just can't move away from that scene in Empire where Hamill is literally crying, not dramatically, not in a way that captures emotion or moves the story along, but in a way sometimes you'd see kids cry in a shop when they drop their bottle, and then put the little gif of his little crybaby face.
So can I
please do.
Are you the first question I have to ask you is, are you aware what day my wedding anniversary is?
Is it not May the 4th?
It's May the 4th. Are you aware?
I'm not finished
yet. Are
you aware?
Well, you are.
I think you are.
You're about to be, son. So,
finish him.
Strap yourself in. I'm going
to
put you
I need to make one more point. One more point.
Okay. Please make your point.
So I put that gif brings out like four of my anxieties, to see a kid crying on the shop floor. Oh no, hang on. I've got about 37 other issues with the series, but I don't. Right, okay. Star Wars Saga is a bit like the EU. I like it in principle, but if I think about it even for a second, I get exhausted by the politics of it. Oh, and Nigel Farage is an in real life Jar Jar. Also, much like the EU, I don't want Star Wars to go away. We're probably better off with it, as it does serve a purpose in the weird way. But Ewoks teach us not to be racist. Carry on.
Were you drunk?
No.
Were you drunk in this? All right, so here's what we're going to lay it out. First of all, on the politics point, number one, fuck Brexit. Just get that point out there. Get that point out of there. Because that's my feeling on that matter. Number two.
We're not talking about politics, are we?
We don't made that rule a long, long time ago.
I don't know. I'm waiting to see how good this is going to be.
Yeah.
Star Wars, let's education time. So let's think about it. Star Wars is the classic tale of good versus evil told through a family story. That's the core behind it, right? So, Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, if you will, set the scene of this young person who didn't know they were part of the story and winds up becoming the hero of the story.
Ugh. Spoilers.
Mark Hamill.
Spoiler alert. Mark Hamill, who is fantastic and I love and who would beat you in a fight.
Kisses his sister.
So,
spoiler alert.
Doesn't know it.
Still Empire Strikes good Back. Storytelling.
Empire Strikes Back comes along. Then you have a film where the bad guys win at the end. genuinely they win, and you don't know what to do with yourself. And that's, as far as I can think back, that's the first film I ever experienced.
Little Shop of Horrors does that.
Guys, no, the bad guys don't win in Little Shop of Horrors. Only, yeah, they do. Only in the original unreleased ending, which doesn't count. So, don't get me on this. Empire Strikes Back, the bad guys win. You're left reeling. You don't know what the hell's going on, because that's not meant to happen, right? And Mark Hamill is fantastic in that movie, finding himself. Now, and Han Solo is incredible, so let's not. There's a scene when he walks into a room, and Darth Vader is there as a trap, and the first thing Han Solo does is get his gun out and start shooting. He's a badass. Moving on. Return of the Jedi. Right? Return of the Jedi is the redemption story of the character who you think is just a scary bad guy, but actually turns out to be pivotal in the whole story because he's the father of two of your main characters you didn't know. What's
wrong with
that?
Ewoks.
And the Ewoks.
Just Chihuahua.
Come on. The Ewoks were merchant opportunities. Let's not lie about it, but still. You got the prequels, and the prequels were deeply flawed. And the reason they were deeply flawed is because George Lucas tried to maintain complete control over the whole thing. And the thing is, he didn't do the best work in Star Wars. Irvin Kershner directed Empire Strikes Back. Lawrence Kasdan wrote it. That's arguably the best Star Wars.
Oh, shit, this boy is good!
As soon as he starts bringing out Irvin Kershner, you know it's on.
Why do we ever have people like this?
We may be sitting in your house.
Well, somebody who actually knows them.
To mine.
Like, we're like, oh, you know that guy. Hang on, we'll remember a name in a minute.
So, where was I? So,
you lose.
The people who told that story best weren't George Lucas himself. He had the idea, he had the story bit, but he didn't write it. He didn't direct it. He did A New Hope, you know, and that was, I enjoyed that film, but you could argue that
he got lucky.
Was flawed. Yeah, he's got a good film in him. The prequels were flawed. That's you can't argue that. They were flawed. There were good points, and there were bad points, and Jar Jar Binks was a useless character, but it's also a merchandising opportunity, and you can't make more movies unless you're going to get paid. So
take your 50p's and get out!
So that's that. You get on to the new films now, and yes, Force Awakens, there's a certain degree of fan service in there because they realize there's a lot of fans who are alienated by the prequels. So you have to get them back on side. So you give them something a bit familiar.
And boy, did it.
But you also introduce a series of new characters and a new setting, which I found genuinely exciting as a grown-ass man. Right? I'm sitting there like, actually, I want to know more about this. And you talk about the hype train. I have been on the hype train since day one. And this film, we're going to see it Wednesday night, midnight, Thursday morning. And I am prepared for it to be the greatest film I've ever seen in my life.
Much like you being on a real train whizzing past me. All I hear is...
Whizzing over you.
All I hear is, rah, 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 you're a dirty tramp.
All I hear is, this is a really good train. That's all I can hear.
Wow.
It's an emotional thing because it is a story of a family. It's a story of fathers and sons. It's a story of good versus evil. It's a story of classic kind of mysticism and magic. And it's science fiction, so it's set in a world that can be fantastical.
What I would like to know your opinion of... Shit, I wish we had a lot more time than this. I would love to know your opinion. The only one thing I want to say, because I'm scared for my life...
Oh, God.
...is, what the fuck about Boba Fett? Why does everyone love Boba Fett so much? Why has he got so many
Which
fucking cosplays, so many mini stories about him, when in the film he's in for, like, about three scenes?
Boba Fett has that thing which is he's quite mysterious.
He's got an awesome
and he looks
jetpack.
Really cool.
Oh, is he the one that flies about?
Because he's Boba the Fett. My backpack's got jets.
I mean, he looks really cool. And he was one of those characters where he looked really cool. He was quite mysterious. There's no...
Hasn't he got like a son or a daughter? Or isn't there like a
technically
kid?
He has a son that's a clone of himself based on the prequels.
Django Fett.
Sorry, yeah, the way
prequels.
Around.
Boba Fett is the son. And that was one of, I think, the worst bits in the prequels, when you've got that moment and he's like, you know, clearly decides there and he's going to become this the little kid.
Yeah, the weirdest thing with that, the weirdest thing with that was that it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like, no one asked for, people did ask for an origin story for Boba Fett. They wanted to know more about the character because he was a mysterious character. What they didn't ask for was give him a family, give him a reason to be a bounty hunter. He didn't need that. He's a bounty hunter because he wanted to get paid. Why else would you be a bounty hunter?
So... Why, if R2 can fly, can he only just do it once?
He's a droid. Maybe they removed those bits. They wiped his memory. They could have removed the jets out of his legs.
All right.
No, he's not on any of the posters for Last Jedi either.
We had a very small part in Force Awakens.
Yeah, I know, but now he's awake. He's alive.
Johnny 5
is alive.
Do we think that R2-D2 is the Force?
Maybe he's the last.
What I didn't like about Force Awakens, I think I brought this up with you before, is when, spoilers, Harrison Ford dies... right. And everyone's really sad.
Mm. Yep.
And they get off that ship. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. We've covered this at length.
And
but bring it up again by all means.
And the fucking Wookiee walks off Chewbacca. the ship.
Yes.
And just fucking blanks Leia. Just blanks her.
He doesn't know how to face her.
Think of this.
He just goes and chills out with everybody else.
No, he doesn't go chill out. He's looking after Finn because Finn is potentially mortally wounded. So, think of this.
But Chewbacca's sad.
Chewbacca is Han Solo's best friend who owes him a life debt, which he has well overpaid, but now is his best friend and has been with him for years and years. By this point, 30, 40 years, right? Han Solo's just died. He's very emotional. He's himself grieving in his own way. He's not going to walk over and have a big sob fest with Leia. Leia and Han Solo had quite a fractious relationship. There's nothing to say that Chewie and Leia are still really that friendly. Han got Chewie in the divorce. So Chewie comes off the ship. He's very upset that his best friend's just died. Mm. He wants to bury himself in his work, which is looking after Finn and making sure Finn gets looked after. Yeah. He walks past Leia because he can't deal with the emotions right
there. What's Chewie? He's Han just Solo's like... real-life doll.
What?
I'm not even answering that question.
he is just like, I promised myself I wouldn't cry. Yeah. And he just doesn't want to.
So emotional.
No, he didn't look arsed.
He looked like a Wookiee.
I watched that scene back.
Because you're a master of Wookiee emotions all of a sudden. Yeah. Jesus.
He looked fine.
Have you seen the Christmas special?
Which Christmas?
With his family.
Star Wars Christmas special.
You'll see that Wookiees show no true emotions.
And that, my friend, is the reason why the Jurassic World 2 trailer looks so good.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they use Black Mirror music. It's so
it's just
weird.
Music, isn't it?
No.
So, we'll just cover this before we finish, because we're nearly there now.
We haven't talked about anything I wanted to talk about. That's the most infuriating.
Well,
so much for your stuff. I'm like,
this is games that we could do this next week.
Yeah.
So, there's a song that runs through... It's been maybe five, six episodes of Black Mirror or something out of the 12 that there are or something. Stephen has this theory of it meaning that each one is set in the same world.
It is in the same world, absolutely in the same world.
So at the beginning of the trailer, they're playing that song. The thing is, I've never heard that song in anything else.
No.
Yeah, but
and then they use it. Yes, I know, but they're using it in that. I've not heard that song before.
Crossover.
Or after. So, yeah. So I text Steve immediately going, have you seen it? Yeah, yeah. Have you heard the song? He's like, yes. Starting conspiracy theories now.
No, I only watched that night and I was like, oh my God, what's the name of the song?
I can't believe that more people aren't going on about it, though. I'd have thought that would have been an internet thing.
Have you seen the new trailers for the new season of Black Mirror?
No, I'm steering clear of it. I'm just going to watch it when it happens.
Oh my God, they look amazing. They're involving kids, so like...
Great.
Wow.
Black Mirror music.
I think you should clarify that comment.
There's this. It's about being a good parent, and you get to put an implant in your kid to make it behave or something. I don't know.
Fair enough.
There's a lot of confusion in it.
Mm. I still want to. I think Reg needs to watch the survival horror one. You know, the one with the house.
That would freak me out.
It's great.
And the ending is just fucking...
Say no more, because he will watch it.
Messes with my brain.
But anyway, we have got another podcast to record, so I think we should call it a night. Yeah?
What's the name of the song?
Fair enough.
We have a Christmas one to get to.
Sorry.
But anyway, yes. It's been wonderful to have all four of us together again.
Nice. I can't wait for the Christmas special where Dave just rips into Steve like Star Wars.
My gift to you is a lesson.
Yeah,
a lesson on why Star Wars deserves your love.
He just sounds so classic when he says it as well.
I like it. So that's definitely the most kind of reasoned and thought out argument I've ever heard on this podcast.
It really is. And he knows names. This is what I'm saying. Before. Like,
well,
he actually
I'm
what
after, are you doing? After I've watched The Last Jedi, I'm more than happy to come back on and shout at Steve some more about it.
Cool. Excellent. And with that bombshell, thank you for listening. I've been Dan.
I've been Reg.
I've been Steve.
I've been Dave.
And it's time to geek out. I know, it's been a while, but I thought I'd use it.
Bye.
Bye.